Transfiguration. What a great day in our church. This day marks the last Sunday in Epiphany. It is a day that we celebrate something significant in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have white. You'll only see white on the altar and on the pulpit and the lectern when it's a significant, important day in the life of the church. And that's today. So what happened on that day is what we're going to be talking about. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little story. A little story that is about a business meeting that somebody had. And at that business meeting, last time I didn't turn it on. Boy, these are tricky. And at this business meeting, I heard that there was a treasurer who had these great ideas, and he gave an envelope to the secretary as they entered into a business meeting. And as they were in there, the chairperson was asking questions, and the treasurer looked over at the secretary for some information, and the secretary replied, "I don't have any information for you." And the treasurer stood up and says, "Yes, you do. Don't you remember that envelope that I gave you?" And the secretary replied, "Oh, I didn't know what that was, so I threw it away." And everybody laughed. But at that time, I thought about how normal that is for the secretary. She had something, but she didn't know what it was, so she threw it away. That's the way it is when we encounter something that we don't know or we don't understand. We throw it away, or at very least, we ignore it. We pretend like it's not there. And that's not good. We need to take a look. For instance, there's a story in the Bible about a man who went up to heaven, and he went up in a fiery cloud. And there was another man who went to a mountain, and he glowed because he came into the presence of God. Well, that's nice, I guess. There's a mental image there we have, but we shrug it off. We don't understand it, so we let it go. Others hear about how Jesus was transformed on a mountaintop. And he stood there and became so white, they could hardly bear to look at him. And with him was Elijah and Moses. And there's Peter, James, and John standing there. And we think to ourselves, "Oh, that's nice, but it doesn't have anything to do with me. And so let's just go on with our life like this never really happened." Most of the sermons that I hear about on the Transfiguration go a little bit like this. They say, "Well, that was a nice event in the church, and Peter and James and John saw Moses and Elijah with Christ, and they heard a voice." And then the sermon goes on and quickly passes over that wonder, and it stresses how Christians are called to come down from the mountain and live in the valley, that we can't be on that mountaintop. And I think, what a great shame that is. I find it to be a shame how many of us really just ignore, neglect, devalue, scorn the prophet's ecstasy, the dreamer's vision, the worshiper's conviction that he or she has heard or seen God. And then when we hear that, we say, "Oh, that's nice," and like the envelope, we throw it away. Most of us are convinced that our faith is about doing good things, about showing love and care for one another, and about reaching out. And it's also about what our faith has to say. But God is God. And when you experience God and His power, there's something about being touched by the Spirit that's so different, and being moved by the voice of the Lord that whispers in our ears. Our faith is so rich, our God is so good, that it makes no sense at all to limit the possibility of even dry bones being raised up, or what we should do or say every day. Our faith is about entertaining angels ever bit as much as it is about seeking comfort to the afflicted and healing the sick. It's about seeing visions of a new heaven and a new earth. It's about doing those things every bit as much as it is about seeking justice and resisting evil. It's about being refreshed by God, as much about being refreshed by God as also refreshing others. Let me tell you a story about a little boy. This was at the turn of the 1900s into a long time ago in our history. And this little boy lived on a farm out in the country. And he had reached the old age of 12. And he was kind of a nice kid. He had always dreamt about perhaps seeing a circus. He's heard about them, but he never saw one. And can you imagine his excitement when he went to school and there was a poster in his school that said that a big circus was coming this next Saturday. And he could go because it was fairly close and it was in town. And he ran home with the glad news. And then came the question, Dad, Mom, can I go? Now, the family was poor and they didn't have very much at all. But the father sensed how important it was for the boy to see. And so he said, I tell you what, son, if you do all of your chores early and help around the farm, we'll see to it that you go. Well, come Saturday morning, everything was done. He had helped his parents well that whole week, and he was ready to go. He put on his very best clothes, and he stood there smiling. And his dad reached down into his overalls, and he reached and took out a dollar. Just $1, which was the most money this boy had ever seen. Remember that in the 1900s, a dollar was a terrifically large amount of money. And so he took that dollar, and then the dad warned him to be careful that people might try to steal it from him and to not spend it foolishly. And he said, no, he wouldn't. And he was so excited that his feet barely touched the ground as he went to town to see the circus. And when he got to town, he saw that all the street was lined up, and there was a huge parade that was going on. And so he wiggled his way to the front. And oh my goodness, he saw sights that he never thought he had seen in his whole life. He saw animals in cages that he didn't understand what they were. And he saw clowns and he saw people dancing. And he saw all kinds of beautiful things and beautiful women and strange big women with beards. And he didn't know what to think. It was the grandest thing that he had ever seen. And so he said, this is wonderful. And finally the parade passed by. And at the very end, there was one clown. And the clown was just sort of walking, making sure everything was cleaned up. And he had, you know, a floppy hat and funny clothes and a bright face. And the little boy looked at him, and he reached down in his pocket. And he took out the dollar, and he gave it to the clown. And he turned around and went home. You see, he thought that was the circus. He made the mistake. The same mistake that we make in our spiritual life. We can end up settling for less than the real thing, for a portion of what is to come instead of the whole, all because we either don't believe in what God can do or we don't know, we don't understand, and so when it happens, we're not even aware of it. I did not know what it was, and so I threw it away. I believe the most common problem faced by members of the Lutheran Church and indeed members of the other churches as well is not the fact that they spend too much time on seeking spiritual visions and revelations and therefore neglecting the important truth and duty of life in Christ. Rather, it's the fact that they do not believe and thus they are not open to special moments, the special moments where God touches them. And only God can do that. Some of the faithful say that the people have no right to say that, that those people aren't being honest, that those feelings that they have aren't true. Then that's sad. I say there are some people out there who have the energy, and yet they fail to recognize it. I tell you about a young group that I belonged to when I was in college. I did not even start college until I was 23 years old. And when I was in college, I heard about this special group of young people that were meeting and they were having a prayer meeting. And they said everyone was welcome. So I came. And we sat around in this room and we would sometimes read a portion of Bible. But what we did is we would pray for each other. And I always enjoyed that. But then they started laying hands on the person that was sitting in a chair and they prayed for them. And one time we had a visiting pastor, a young man that came, and we were not pastors, we were just young men and women. And so he sat down and he prayed with us. And then it came his time, and he asked us all to put our hands on him. And so I did. And when I put my hands on his head, I felt an energy go through my body like electricity. And the words of a prayer washed over my mouth, but I don't know what I said, but the feeling was there. Suddenly there was silence in the room. And that pastor looked up to me and he said, "You shall be used to do great things." And I thought to myself, how profound. That was a spiritual moment for me. It was a moment where I was sure what I was doing, but I hadn't really made it firm. And it firmed it up. I knew that God moved through me. And if you're in any of my confirmation classes or the other things, you know, we put our hands on those young people and we pray for them, we being the elders and me. We believe that it's important. We believe that they understand that there are spiritual moments in our lives that sometimes we overlook. That service of worship was a turning point. Maybe you have the same thing. My friends, you cannot explain how God works. I cannot explain how God's work. I can't set up a situation and say, you come and do this and you will feel God. Because that's not how it happens. Sometimes it's when you're laying concrete in a place far away and you talk to the big guy. And you know that you're doing what he wants you to do. And sometimes it's when you're just at home. And sometimes it's when a new child comes in to your family and you hold that child. And it's a feeling that we can't say is duplicatable. We can say only that it's from God. And we need to learn to enjoy those moments. We need to take time. And not actively seek them, but actively be aware that they happen. You know, they say that in order for you to have a mountaintop experience, you have to go to the mountain. Elisha followed his teacher Elijah all around the country, despite Elijah telling him not to. And when he had that experience, he actively sought a double portion of the Spirit. He said he wanted to do that. And Elisha had patience, and he received it. Peter, James, and John were obeying Jesus when they witnessed his transfiguration. They had climbed the mountain, and they went to pray. And God talked to them. And that was such an important moment, such a great time. It's a sacred experience. And they're encountered in the Bible time and time again of that divine presence being made aware of by the people around them. We need that today. We need to have a close encounter with God. Some of us catch sight of God and the beauty around them. Some of them glimpse it through a close encounter with death. Some of them meet it in a special way during a period of suffering, while others meet it in a time of joy. There are some who even have said during a special worship service, they've felt that even more. Don't throw those images and strange things away. Don't say that it can't happen. Allow it to happen because it's mysterious and it's heartwarming and it also fills your life so you can go on. Don't let those things that you can't control overwhelm you and therefore turn away from it. Rather, meditate on them. Delight in them. Use them as a source of strength in your own time for your own services. Whether you're on the mountaintop or you're in the valley. Hear what the psalmist says. Oh, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Amen.